Our God reigns. Glory to God. Say hello to our online family that's joining us. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. We want to pray. We prayed for one another today earlier in the service. We want to pray for you right now. So all of you here, join me and let's pray for those of us that are joining us online, our online family. Father, we pray for our online family right now. I'm thinking of specific individuals that I know have not been able to get back here to church, Father God. But I know they're watching us and they're worshiping with us online. And even others, Lord, that we may not know about that are joining us, that have come across our online services. Father, we pray for them right now and for their families. And we ask you to bless them. We ask you to provide for them. We ask you to bring healing and strength into their lives. We ask, Father God, that you give them comfort and peace. And we pray that hope would abound in their hearts. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for each and every one. And we speak blessings over them and over their households today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. And Lord, we pray as we're praying, we pray over your word right now. And we open our hearts to your word and we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us today in the name of Jesus. And we pray that not one of us would leave this service, either in person or online, untouched by your power. May your grace and may your glory be in this house today, in every heart and in every life. Lord, confirm your word today. Lord, give me utterance, give me boldness to speak your word today. In Jesus' name, I pray and I thank you for it. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Amen. I want to get to verse 5, but it's a short psalm and it's also good. So we're just going to read the entire psalm. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Now what? Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Why? Because it's a privilege. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. It's not a burden. Amen. It's a privilege. There's no greater honor than to be able to serve the Lord. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That's what we've done this morning. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That's what we did this morning. And that's the way that you enter into God's presence anytime. So, somebody said, I can't feel God. I can't feel His presence. Have you tried praising Him? Because if you'll praise Him, that's how that you enter in to His gates. And we enter into His courts. I got a revelation of that. And I'm not even to my thought that I want to share with you this morning. But I want to mention this since we're here. Enter into His courts with praise. At our prayer school the other day, we were talking about this psalm and just praising God. We enter His courts with praise. What do you think about when you think about His court? It's not His tennis court. It's not His basketball court. And it's not even just His nice, pretty, beautiful courtyard where birds are singing. It's the place where heaven's justice is meted out. That's His court. That's His court. And we enter in. We come into the court of heaven with praise and with thanksgiving. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. And we come into that court where heaven's justice is meted out, where we can receive justice from heaven, where we can do business in heaven's court. And we get there through praise. As you praise God, it brings you to where you're standing in heaven's court. Hallelujah. And Jesus is your advocate, your defense attorney, and your heavenly Father is the judge. So what does that mean? It means you're going to win the case. It means you're going to win the case. Oh, there is a prosecuting attorney, all right. That's the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. But he's defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It's praise that gets us into that court. Hallelujah. Be thankful to Him, the psalm goes on to say, and bless His name. Verse 5, here's what I want us to see this morning. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Three wonderful, great truths right here in verse 5 that I want us to focus on this morning, and that I say it this way. These are three truths that we can tether our lives to. Three truths that we can tether our lives to. What are they? For the Lord is good. That's truth number one. Truth number two, His mercy is everlasting. And truth number three, His truth endures to all generations. Now, what do you mean by tether? When I say these are truths that we can tether our lives to, I looked up the word tether in the dictionary, the noun. It's used as a noun or a verb. The noun meaning of tether is a line to which someone or something is attached as for security. Hallelujah. You can attach your life to these truths, and it will give you security. It will cause you to have security in your life. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. I can tether my life to those truths, and that's a line that I'm attached to that brings me security. Praise God. And the verb means to fasten by tether, okay? So we fasten ourselves to these great truths. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So let's look at them one by one here. Number one, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. Everybody say, the Lord is good. See, if you'll settle that in your life and in your belief system, it will keep you on track with God, number one. It will keep you on God's side when circumstances arise that you don't understand. And then thirdly, it will help you to know what to receive and what to resist. It'll keep you on track with God. It'll keep you on God's side. I always say that. I say, stay on God's side. When you don't know what's going on, when you don't understand, when a circumstance is in your life or when situations are in your life and it seems like nothing is changing, stay on God's side. What do I mean by that? I mean, don't blame God. Don't say, God, why are you causing this? God, why are you doing this to me? No, stay on His side. Know that He's good. Know that the Lord is good. Tether your life to that truth. Wait a minute. The Lord is good. I know that God is good. So whatever's happening here, I may not understand it, but I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to distrust God because I know that the Lord is good. I know that the Lord is good, and I can tether my life to that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it will help you know what to receive and what to resist. See, the Lord is not good one day and bad another day. He's good when? What do we say? We say God is good all the time. Amen, right? Yeah, I hadn't heard that lately. You know, in 2020, that saying is not as popular, evidently. But He's still good. He's good all the time. Even in 2020. Amen. That's why I can trust Him. Because I know that He will only do me good. Amen. Hallelujah. I can fully trust Him because I know that He will only do me good. Praise God. No wonder people have trouble trusting God if they're not sure He's going to do them good. If they're not sure about His goodness. Or perhaps they think that He's going to harm them some way. Or bring tragedy into their life. The other day I caught the end. I didn't see the beginning of it. I was just watching some TV and flipping through. And the old movie, The Poseidon Adventure, was on. Does anybody remember that movie? You're going to date yourself if you do. Remember in the early to mid-70s, they had these disaster movies. The Towering Inferno. I remember seeing that one. And these were blockbuster movies with all these big stars and all. The Towering Inferno, and then there was one about an airplane crash, I think. And then there was the Poseidon Adventure. The Poseidon Adventure was about a cruise ship that got capsized by a tsunami. And again, I just caught the last of it the other day, but Gene Hackman was in it, and Gene Hackman was a preacher or a priest. He had his clerical collar on, And he was trying to lead a group of survivors to safety, out of the wreckage. I mean, you know, that everything's burning and all wrecked and torn up, you know, because it's capsized. And they don't know which way, if they need to go this way or that way, you know, if this is going to lead them to safety and to rescue or that way. And so Gene Hackman says, "Follow me, I'm going to lead you out." And he starts leading this group of people out. And, you know, along the way, some of them die. And, you know, and every time something bad happens, he's like, he looks up like he's talking to God. He says, "Why are you, why is this, you know, why did you do this?" You know, and so he's blaming God all along. I thought, wait a minute, Gene, hold on. You know, God didn't do this. God's not doing this to you. Don't blame God. But every step of the way, I mean, he's trying his best, you know, and he's got Ernest Borgnine is in it. He's strong, you know, Ernest Borgnine, strong will. He said, "We need to go this way." And Gene says, "No, we got to go this way." And so he's trying to lead, do his best, and bad things keep happening, and he keeps blaming God. So finally, toward the end of the movie, he leaps out across the wreckage and grabs a hold of this valve that's spewing this deadly steam out on the group, and they can't proceed any further unless that's shut off. And so he swings out and grabs hold of it, and he shuts the valve off. And then another tragedy happens while he's hanging there. Another one of them dies, and he rages out at God, said, "Why are you doing this?" And then he lets go of the valve and drops to his own death. What a sad thing that happened. But some of them did get out, so Gene did his job. But my point is, God was not his problem. Amen. God was not doing that to him. He shouted at one point, "What else do you demand of me?" Wasn't God demanding stuff of him? It wasn't God that was causing all that or doing all that. Amen? No, God is good. In fact, the psalm, let's get back to the scripture. Let's get out of the 70 disasters movies and get back to the scripture now. Psalm 73, verse 1, look at what it says here. Truly, God is good. Now, the first four words, the Psalm of Asaph, and then truly, God is good. He's good to Israel. Well, if he's good to Israel, he's good to everybody. Amen. Amen. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. With those first four words in that statement, go back to one there. Truly, God is good. So what's true? God is good. God is good. That's true, right? That's truth. God is good. Amen. Truly, it's true that God is good. I'm not standing up here, you know, trying to hype you this morning. I'm telling you a reality. I'm telling you a truth, and that's this. God is good. Amen. Amen. And then in verse 2, he says, But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. Why? He goes on. We're not going to look at the rest of the psalm, but he goes on there, and he got his focus on circumstances. He got his focus on what was happening around him, and it caused him to lose sight of the truth that God is good. And he finally, if you read through the psalm, it's a wonderful psalm. If you read through the psalm, He finally gets down to the end of it, and he gets back into the presence of God, and then he realizes, hey, boy, I was really thinking wrong, and I was about to really make a wrong decision here, thinking that God's not good. But he went back and he re-anchored and retethered his life to that truth that the Lord is good, God is good. Amen. What's true? God is good. That's true. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, but I almost stumbled because I lost sight of that. And James cautions us about that as well. In James 1, verse 16, he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Deceived about what, James? Well, he tells us in the next verse, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What is James saying here? He says, don't be deceived about this truth that God is good, and every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him, and He doesn't change. With Him, there's no variation or shadow of turning. If God was good yesterday, He's good today. If He's good today, He'll be good tomorrow. God doesn't change. Don't be deceived about that. Amen. He's good all the time. Praise God. Amen. Matthew 7, verse number 9. Jesus said this, "Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what?" Come on, give what? Good things. What kind of things? Good things to those who ask him. The Lord is good and he gives good things. Hallelujah. The psalmist said this, in fact, he said, "Taste and see," what? "That the Lord is good." Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen. Now, I told you, knowing and understanding that the Lord is good, that will help you know what to receive into your life and what to resist. The Bible tells us that we are to resist the devil, right? In fact, James says that. He says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Amen. So we're to resist the devil and we're to resist anything that he tries to bring into our lives, right? And of course, on the other side of it, as believers, we should welcome and we should receive anything and everything that God wants to bring into our lives. Amen. Right? Yes. But if we're confused about what's good and what's not, and if it's coming from God or not, then we're not going to know what to resist or what to receive. See, if you know that the Lord is good and he only gives good gifts and brings good things, and something evil comes into your life, sickness, disease, calamity, something bad, if you know that God is good, if that's settled, if you're tethered to that truth in your life, then when that comes against you that's evil, that's doing harm, you're going to be quick to resist it. That's coming from the devil. You're going to be able to spot that. Amen? Are you there? Praise God. But if we get confused about that, then we can't successfully resist what the devil is trying to bring. Amen? Praise God. See, and here's another truth. Here's another truth, that God is good even when people mean us evil. God is good even when people mean us evil. Look at this. Genesis 50. This is the end of the account of the story of Joseph. And the story of Joseph, Joseph is talking to his brothers after he's revealed himself to them, after they sold him into Egypt, into slavery. Remember all that? And he ended up going to prison and all of this. But 13 years later, he comes out and he's put second in command in the country of Egypt. And he says to his brothers, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." So God is so good, the Lord is so good, that even when people mean evil against us, if we'll keep tethered to God and His goodness, He will bring about good and He'll bring us back on top. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28 in the NIV says it this way, And we know that in all things, God works for the good. He's not bringing everything into our life, but in the midst of it, He's working. In all things, God works for what? For the good. God works for what? The good. Of who? Me. You. Of those who love Him. God is working for your good. He's not just working out something that's going to be good for Him or for somebody else, but for you. God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That's each one of us. That's you and me. Amen? In all things, even when people are trying to do you bad or do you wrong, God is still working for your good. Amen? The Lord is good. We can tether our life to that truth, that reality. The Lord is good. Amen? Praise God. The second truth is this: His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's everlasting. That means it lasts forever. That means you can't use it up. The Lord knows some of us have tried. Amen. Come on. Amen. A lot of us can raise both hands and both feet on this one. Yes. We've tried to use up God's mercy, but we can't. Amen. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. The scripture says this in Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. If it was not for the Lord's mercy, if it was not for the fact that His mercy is everlasting, guess what? You'd be a greasy spot on the highway. Amen. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. His mercies are new. There's a fresh supply, a brand new supply of His mercy available every morning. Every morning. Hallelujah. Now, I've talked to you about this before, but the Hebrew word for mercy here, mercies in verse 22, but through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. That's the Hebrew word chesed or hesed. I think you're supposed to clear your throat when you say chesed, okay? And it's difficult to translate. The commentary says it's difficult to translate into English because there's no word equivalent, no one word equivalent in English. Because it means this. It means loving kindness. It means mercy. It means steadfast love. It means loyal love. Yeah. Hallelujah. God's loyal love, God's steadfast love, His loving kindness, His mercy is everlasting. It's new every morning. Hallelujah. The Message Bible says it this way, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. Verse 23, they're created new every morning. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 103 and verse 8. It says, the Lord is what? Merciful. Merciful means what? Full of mercy. Merciful means full of mercy. That's who He is. He's full of mercy. He's full of, our Father is full of mercy. The psalmist in Psalm 100 declared, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And here the psalmist says, the Lord is merciful. He's full of mercy. Slow to anger and abounding, overflowing in mercy. Hallelujah. Think about it. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. The Bible says in Psalm 30, His anger is but for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Can God get angry? Yes, He can. Can you make Him angry? Yes, you can, but His anger just lasts a moment. But His favor and His mercy over your life is a lifetime. Hallelujah. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. Verse 10, this is what it means. So what does mercy mean? Pastor, it's right here. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. That's what mercy is. Mercy means that God doesn't deal with you according to your sins. Think about that. Mercy means that when you approach God and you're in need and you're hurting, God doesn't pull up a list of your sins and say, well, I'd like to help you, but look at this, buddy. No, when you're in need and when you're hurting, God doesn't pull that up, and He doesn't deal with you and me according to our sins, and He doesn't punish us according to our iniquities, but He deals with us in mercy. He looks upon us, and despite our failures, despite our sins, despite our... Now the condition is we have to repent. If we are unrepentant, say, Pastor, you're just giving people a license to sin. Folks, you've been sinning a long time without a license. I'm not giving you a license to sin. No, no. The condition is that we have to repent. And when we repent, when we turn from our sin, then he doesn't say, well, yeah, I'd like to help you, but look, you know, you've messed up so bad and you've done all of this. No, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins, and he doesn't punish us according to our iniquities. Why? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it. Blind Bartimaeus cried out as he heard that Jesus was passing by. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have what? Mercy. Have mercy on me. And Jesus was busy. Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he was passing through the town of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to fulfill his assignment to die for our sins. And yet a cry for mercy stopped him in his tracks. And the Bible says that he stood still. And he called him. And the people that had tried to tell Bartimaeus before to be quiet, don't bother him, they said, hey, take courage. He's calling for you. It was that cry for mercy that caught Jesus' attention. Why? Because he's full of mercy. He's rich in mercy. He's abounding in mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. Have faith in his mercy toward you. Praise God. Rely upon his mercy. Yes, healing comes to us by faith, and it's faith in his mercy. Amen. It's faith in his mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus' mercy caused his blind eyes to be opened. According to your faith, Jesus said, be it unto you. What was his faith in? Obviously, it was in his mercy, because that's what he cried out for. Jesus, have mercy on me. Praise God. Hallelujah. His mercy is what? Everlasting. His mercy is just as sure today, just as effective today, and can just as readily be claimed today as at any time in the past. Why? Because it's everlasting. What did David say in Psalm at the end of Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy. David had his life tethered to these great truths. The Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. And he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to encourage you. It's so easy to be negative, and it's so easy. You know, the devil just continually pumps the negative and fear. I want to encourage you to expect that goodness and mercy follow you all your days. Don't after things have been going good for a few weeks, don't think, oh no, something bad's going to happen now. Oh no, what can go wrong now? Oh, this is too good to be true. What's going to go wrong now? Don't think that way. Don't expect that. That's contrary to the truth. That's contrary to the Word. The Word says goodness and mercy follow you. Expect that. Expect that goodness and mercy will follow you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday, right? Yeah, don't get up tomorrow and say, oh no, another week. Oh no, it's Monday. Oh no, something's going to go wrong. No, get up and say, hey, goodness and mercy are following me today. Amen. Amen. And all the days of my life. Our God is a good God. He cares for us. He watches over us. He sustains us. He keeps us. Hallelujah. His goodness, we can anchor our life to it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And his mercy, praise God. Amen. And then finally this one. His truth endures to all generations. Reed, come on back up if you would. His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. We can tether our life to that. We can tether our life that the Lord is good. We can tether our life to that. We can tether our life to his mercy is everlasting. And you can tether your life to this. His truth, that's his word. His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. His promises have not expired. You can't find any promise of God that on the side of it, as you turn it over to the side, There's an expiration date stamped on there. Expired in the year 33 AD. Expired in the year when the last apostle died. No. There's never an expiration date on the promise of God and on the Word of God, because His truth endures to all generations. That includes this one. That includes this one. Amen. His Word can still be believed, and His Word can still be acted on today. Amen. What we read that the Lord did in the past, He'll do it today. Amen. Hallelujah. His promises can be claimed today. His Word is sure today. His truth endures to all generations. Now, there's another side of this as well. His design, His order, and His commandments are still in effect as well. His design, that's what's in His Word too. His design, His order, and His commandments are still in effect as well. There's a great onslaught against the truth and our culture today, as there has been at times throughout history. Foundational truths of His Word are under attack. That's outmoded. We've progressed beyond that. You know, society and culture has developed beyond that. We don't need that anymore. That's not applicable today. That just doesn't fit our world today. People have advanced in their thinking. Now, you hear things like that. But no, His truth endures. His truth endures to how many generations? All generations. That includes this generation. That includes today. The foundational truths given to us in the book of Genesis are still true today, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, you think, well, we know this, but we have to stand up for this today. And we have to give voice to this today, because it seems like our world is losing its mind, honestly. The Bible tells us in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, that God made man in His own image, male and female. He created them, right? He didn't make anything else in between there. Just male and female. There's a movement now that you might be something in between, or you might want to change from one to the other, or something that totally in between or besides that. Like 71 different genders now, you know, that people identify with. No, it's male and female. His truth endures to all generations. Amen. His truth endures. It doesn't change. God made man, and He made woman. He made male and He made female. Nothing in between. Nothing extra. Amen. Hallelujah. And then He created marriage. And he took the man and the woman and He brought them together in marriage. That's what marriage is. Marriage is one man and one woman. Amen. One man and one woman. Our Supreme Court back in 2012 decided they were going to redefine what marriage was. They may redefine it. They may say what they want to. But His truth endures to all generations. God's Word says that marriage is between one man and one woman. That truth endures to this generation. Amen? When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees about marriage and divorce and things like that, what did He do? He took them back to God's original plan in Genesis. Look at what the Scripture says in Matthew 19 and verse 4. And He answered and said to them, "Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female." What's Jesus doing? He's saying, look, the truth that God established in Genesis is for this generation. It's still true for our generation. They said, well, how are we supposed to deal with this today, Jesus? Well, we're supposed to deal with it based on what God set up at the beginning. Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And then he goes on to verse 5 and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two, one man, one woman, shall become one flesh." That's what marriage is. Amen. What did he do? He brought them back to God's standard. What should we do today with those questions? We should bring everybody back to God's standard. Why? Because His truth endures to all generations. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God created family. God created a mother and a father and children as the basic and most secure and stable building block of society and culture. When we move away from that, we generate all sorts of problems. Amen? That's the building block. That's what we have to stand for in this day. We have to stand that His truth endures in this generation. No, that's not old-fashioned. No, we've not progressed beyond that. No, we've not developed beyond that. If we've lost that, we've not progressed. We've digressed. If we've lost that, we've not evolved. We've devolved. Amen? Hallelujah. And this truth, if believed and practiced, will produce stable and successful and healthy families. And thus, a stable and healthy society. Amen? The basic truths of morality, of right and wrong. Some say those are outmoded, those are old-fashioned. No, they're not. His truth endures to all generations. These truths, as we see in the Ten Commandments, as we see established in the Ten Commandments, if we'll follow these, see, that's what our nation was founded on. Our nation was founded on the Judeo-Christian principle and ethic of the Ten Commandments. Amen. And if we'll follow that, if we follow that truth that God established, And we incorporate that into how we relate to one another and how we treat each other, which is what we did in the establishment of our nation and of our laws, these truths still work, and they still produce stable and peaceful and prosperous societies. Amen? Praise God. So we hold on to this truth, that His truth endures to all generations. Praise God. Now, we could also say, I use the word tether. We could also use the word anchor. It's just basically the same thing. We could say that these are three truths. The Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. The Word of God hasn't passed away. We can believe it today. We can order our lives by it today. It's still true and right and good and works today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We can anchor our lives to these. Now, an anchor is this, something that serves to hold an object firmly. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Something that serves to hold an object firmly. Anchor your life to these truths, and it will hold you firmly. Amen. When the lies and deception and false teaching and false doctrine is blowing out there, if you'll anchor your life to these three things, it'll hold you firmly. Amen? Yes. Praise God. The verb form of anchor means to hold in place, to secure firmly. And in fact, the Bible uses that term, that word anchor, in a very important scripture in Hebrews 6, verse 9 or 19. It says this, "This hope we have as what? As an anchor of the soul." Hallelujah. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We can anchor our souls to God's Word. We can anchor our souls to these truths, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. The Message Bible says it this way, "We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline." Verse 9, did I get the next verse? Did I get the message? I didn't give it to you in the Message? There we go. All right. Yeah, here we go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. There we are. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'll anchor your life to the Lord is good, if you'll anchor your life to His mercy is everlasting, if you'll anchor His life to anchor your life to His truth endures to all generations, it will bring you right into the very presence of God and anchor your life there. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here, every person under the sound of my voice, every person that may be joining us online or listening to this at another time. Father, I pray that you speak to each of our hearts. And I pray especially right now, if there's anyone here that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray that today they would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for drawing them. I thank you that they'll know today, Lord, that you're good, that they'll taste and see for themselves that you're good, that you're good. I thank you for it. While we're in an attitude of prayer, if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. If I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want to know. I want to be sure about that. I want to be sure that I'm right with God. I want to be sure that I'm saved, that I'm going to heaven. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Praise God. Maybe if you're joining us online, maybe that's you. I want to pray for you. And those of you in the congregation, just pray this with me. We're going to pray for anyone that's joining us online that wants to make Jesus, that needs to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Just pray this simple prayer, and Jesus will come into your heart. He'll be the Lord of your life if you'll open your heart to Him right now. God didn't make it complicated. He said we can receive and we have to receive the kingdom of God even as a child. So it's simple. So just pray this simple prayer. Just say this, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I do believe that Jesus died for me, for my sin. I recognize that I need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. Lord Jesus, I call upon you. I believe upon you. Come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the Lord of my life. You are the risen Savior. And now, you are my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, then please get in touch with us and let us know. Praise God. I want to bless you before we go today, you that are here in person. Father, again, I pray for my church family, for my brothers and sisters, and I ask your blessing over each of our lives today, Father. I thank you and I praise you that your grace is sufficient for us, and I thank you that the grace of God is abounding in our lives. And Lord, today we anchor our lives to your truth. Lord, that you are good. You are good. We believe it, Lord. Even though it may not look like it in the circumstances we're facing, we believe that you're working for our good. We believe, Lord, that you're bringing us out on the other side. And we resist what the enemy is trying to do. In the name of Jesus, we resist every work of the devil. We resist fear. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Make this declaration. Say this. Say, I resist fear in the name of Jesus. Fear is not of God. Fear is not good. So I resist it in the name of Jesus. I resist lack in the name of Jesus. It's not of God. God supplies all my need. He gives me an abundant supply. So I resist lack. In the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease is not of God. It's not good. So I resist it. I command sickness, disease to leave my body. In the name of Jesus. I'm healthy. I'm whole. And with long life, the Lord satisfies me and shows me His salvation. depression and despair. It's not of God. It's not good. So I resist it. I resist depression. I resist despair. I resist hopelessness. My God gives me hope. He is the God of hope. He fills me with all joy and peace in believing, so that I abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name.